This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Go get 'em. Is that the message from White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer?
The president wanted to take the shackles off individuals in these agencies and say, you have a mission. There are laws that need to be followed. You should do your mission and follow the law.
White House Press Secretary Spicer yesterday explaining new Trump immigration rules, taking the shackles off in this case, allows customs authorities to more easily put the shackles on undocumented immigrants who have a record of minor criminal offenses. As part of our 100 Days, 100 Questions campaign, Mate Rodriguez on Twitter tweeted this question to President Trump. Mr. President, what are you going to do with DAPA and DACA? DACA, that's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, Obama's so-called dreamers. Well, they are safe for now, according to federal authorities. But that's just one question. At a moment of countless questions in the minds of immigrants and their lawyers, can we get some answers right here in our studio? I think so. We brought together Camille Mackler, Director of Legal Initiatives for the New York Immigration Coalition, with two undocumented immigrants who have very different anxieties about the near future. Andrea Bonilla is a DACA recipient born in Ecuador, now a freshman at Lafayette College. We've spoken to her twice before on this program. And Jongmin Yu is a Korean-born immigrant who has lived undocumented in the U.S. since he was a small child. He was too old to qualify for DACA. We last spoke with him in October of 2015. Camille, what are people you're hearing from most worried about?
I think a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions as to, you know, are they going to be able to remain in the United States? How, as a family, what does the future hold for them? And also, just more generally, how are they viewed in society today when they go out on the street?
Andrea Bonilla, you're a DACA recipient, right? So you're one of the dreamers, right?
Yeah.
You are out of the woods, it would seem. Do you feel out of the woods here? Do you feel like you're not going to be the object of all of this attention?
I mean, I feel, I guess, a little bit calmer, but I still wouldn't say that I feel completely safe because my family isn't completely safe. So I can't be calm if, like, they're not all safe and okay.
Yeah. And where is your family?
They're all in New York City.
Well, they're in a sanctuary city. I mean, where you are at Lafayette College, I don't think has the same protections.
Yeah, I mean, I feel protected here just because the president has released, like, statements saying that they will protect DACA students as much as they can. So I feel pretty safe here. But I would be, like, more scared for my parents just because, like, ICE was there and stuff. And they're definitely scared.
And Jongmin, what did you think of Trump before the election? And how about now?
Well, I thought Trump was going to lose like everybody else here in New York. And after he did win, I just thought maybe we should just give this guy a chance. And I guess only a month after his presidency, I guess the chance is over. So we need to fight back and try to mobilize and try to hopefully get a good immigration bill through Congress.
How are these new immigration orders a threat to you, Jongmin?
Well, I aged out of DACA, unfortunately, so I don't have any status. And my parents don't have status at all as well. So these immigration orders, they come after me right now if they wish to. And
is that right?
I guess they could. They could do anything they want to. I guess this is the big bad government going against me.
All right, Jongmin and Andrea, let's just have you dial up 311, the information number here in New York, for getting public services on questions like immigration status and what's going on. We've got Camille right here. Andrea, you said you had questions about your family. Why don't you ask Camille a few questions that are concerning you, even though you're a freshman at Lafayette College and don't necessarily have to worry?
Well, one of my questions was, should students apply for study abroad through advanced parole, or is it too dangerous now?
I would say right now I would not be traveling on any kind of parole, including advanced parole. That's something that they specifically pointed to in the memos and the FAQs that were released yesterday, that advanced parole and other types of parole are being abused in the administration's mind and that they plan on clamping down on it. So I would not be advising anybody to leave the United States who doesn't have actual status in the United States. And DACA, unfortunately, is not a legal status.
Now, when you talk about parole, I mean, Andrea is not on criminal parole. Help us out here.
I'm sorry. I went immigration lawyer on you. Parole is a way for somebody to be admitted into the United States, even if they don't have a valid status, a valid visa, to come in. It's a way for them to be admitted so that they can figure out their status once they're inside the United States. It's used a lot for asylees, but it's used a lot in advance. You can get that permission in advance if you've got something in the United States.
Understood. Yeah. So, Andrea, were you considering studying abroad? Were you looking at some possible programs there at Lafayette? And all of a sudden, if I'm listening to Camille, forget about it.
Yeah, of course, because I was able to travel to Ecuador during the summer through advanced parole. So I thought that I could definitely do study abroad and that it would be safe. But since Trump won, I was like, okay, it's not safe anymore.
All right, Jungmin, your questions. You've just dialed 311 and Camille's on the line here.
Camille, I was reading the papers that these undocumented immigrants who just get apprehended, they have no court hearings or trial hearings at all. And I was like, that's so interesting, because I know in the criminal case, you actually have the right to an attorney, but immigration law, you don't have the right to an attorney. Now, you don't even have a right to a trial? Is that right before a judge? You don't have anything? And they could just be deported like that?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, if you've had a hearing and you already have a deportation order, you don't get a second hearing before a judge. And that's always been the case. But if you've never had a deportation order, what they're saying now is that they're going to be greatly expanding some sections of the law. And if you entered without inspection, meaning you entered without a visa or a valid document, and you cannot prove in the moment of your apprehension that you have been in the United States for more than 2 years, they will subject you to what's called expedited removal, which means that you will be deported without a hearing. Expedited removal we usually see at the border when somebody's trying to come in and gets turned away, and now they're saying they're going to really significantly increase that, and that's obviously something that we find very worrying.
Are you paying attention to expedited removal? Is that the thing that Jungmin, you're most fearful of at this point?
Personally, I'm not fearful of being removed. I guess that's just me. Anyway, the point is, I fear for my parents. I fear for people crossing the street. I feel people that are just driving without a license. And I just think that somehow the United States, you know, this great land that we call home, should protect these people, those who are powerless and unfortunate. I think that's what it should stand for, the moral fabric of a society. And I just feel for these people who have no power at all and may get abused and taken advantage of and just thrown out of the country without any due process. And I think that's just sad.
So when you're lying in bed at night trying to fall asleep, what are you most worried about? I mean, there's the old taillight is out on the car kind of thing. You mentioned driving without a license. What are the scenarios that you most worry about for you and your parents?
Well, you know, my parents have a grocery store in Brooklyn, and I help them tremendously. But, you know, they get robbed or victimized a lot during at night. I just fear that if the cops came, if we call them, of course, if the cops came and, you know, there was some dispute, that they arrest all of us for whatever violence that happens at the store. And I think a lot of people don't understand how much violence there is on the street and at businesses at night. So I'm fearful that without due process, that they would just be shipped back to Korea. And I would fight that to every bone in my body.
How long have you been here, Jungmin?
Wow, that's going to be 36 years coming December. And so I've been here 35 plus years, and I have no pathway to citizenship. And it's kind of sad. My parents, too, have no pathway to citizenship. And I think that the American public has to understand that this immigration system is dysfunctional.
Well, that I think we understand. But let me put that to Camille. How do you, if you were suddenly in the middle of one of these expedited, you know, down on the floor, pal, let's see your ID, how do you convey to the immigration, to the authorities, that you've been here longer than 2 years and you actually do have some rights?
I mean, that's been the biggest thing we've been struggling with, right, is that if you've got an immigration agent with a gun putting you to the floor, you're unlikely to try to assert the minimal rights you have to remain silent, to not let them into your home, to ask for an attorney. You do have a right to an attorney, just not one paid for by the government. What we're recommending is that people keep proof that they've been here for 2 years. That could be a lease, that could be school records, that could be, you know, any number of documents in as much as possible on them, but at a very minimum, somewhere where other family members and other, you know, neighbors, anyone will know where to find them and get them to a lawyer right away. Because once that kicks in, once that expedited removal process kicks in, we're talking about a matter of, you know, days, if not hours.
Camille, how does the idea of I actually spoke with a circuit court judge here in New York on the street right after the election, and she said in New York we're protected because we're a sanctuary city and because politically New York is so different from the rest of the country. I scratched my head and said, last I looked, it was still part of the United States of America. What does sanctuary do to the people that you deal with? Is it a protection?
I mean, yeah, it is a protection. It's not infallible, right? I mean, a sanctuary city doesn't have a giant wall built around it that keeps ICE out, unfortunately. But it does provide some protections. And I think it also just sort of is indicative of a larger mindset of wanting to protect and, you know, provide for immigrant communities. So certainly the lack of cooperation between local law enforcement and ICE is massive. It's very impactful. ICE is not very happy with it. I mean, it's what cities should be doing right now.
At the point of encounter with authorities, Camille, what is the best thing, the strongest thing that people can say to possibly protect them, keep them from being detained overnight, get them in touch with an attorney, et cetera?
I mean, I think there's no getting away from being detained at that point, honestly, but staying silent, actually, just not admitting anything, not signing anything, saying you want to speak to a lawyer. But I think not saying anything is more important than saying anything at all.
Based on what you've seen of this administration, I mean, Jiangmin has been here for 36 years. If you do not have any documentation, can you expect over the next 4 years to be found, that is their intent, to find everyone who's undocumented who's been here and to do something with them?
I think that's their intent. But to be honest, I think that they're going to start hitting some pretty practical walls. I mean, just yesterday they insisted on 15,000 new hires, yet General Kelly told Congress less than 2 weeks ago that he wasn't able to do that in 2 years. So I think there's going to be a lot of practical and legal roadblocks along the way. But I do think that that is their intent, and I don't think anyone is safe right now.
Camille Mackler is Director of Legal Initiatives for the New York Immigration Coalition. Jiangmin Yu is a Korean-born immigrant who's been in the U.S. since he was a young boy. He's aged out of DACA, and Andrea Bonilla is a former radio rookie and a DACA recipient who is a freshman at Lafayette College. Good luck to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.